Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. He is the Latin American Research Professor of the Strategic Studies Institute. And this requires research into the 20th century. The passing at 86 years of age, Abimael Guzman, Maoist revolutionary. He founded the terrorist organization in Peru, Shining Path, 5 decades ago or more. And he died and the mourning of him has gained a lot of controversy because Guzman represented a 20th century model of the left. As the professor has been teaching me, the left has many flavors here in the 21st century, but the fact that this significant intellectual and novelist, Vargas Llosa, writes of him in the Wall Street Journal with the irony, he's dead, Maoist leader is dead at 86, but a Marxist-Leninist is president of Peru. Evan, my understanding is that Maoism and Marxist-Leninism are on the left side, maybe. At the same time, the sympathy towards socialism in Latin America is a puzzle. So, first, Vargas Llosa is a major intellectual in Latin America. Is his disdain for what's happened to his country, is that significant?
John, I think that Vargas Llosa's views, in my own opinion, with respect to the intellectual orientation of not only Peru, but Latin America in general, he tends to be one of the most eloquent and thoughtful voices on the center right. So I think he's right on track with respect to this. But in general, to add to what he has written, I think that we have to understand the death of Guzman and the legacy of Sendero Luminoso in the context of the victory of Pedro Castillo in Peru's recent elections, really at two levels. So with respect to Shining Path itself, this has been really a deep scar on the consciousness of Peru and its modern identity. You had, an estimated 70,000 people who lost their lives in that bloody civil war. It was the fight against Sendero Luminoso was really etched into Peru's history. And so you have a certain continuation at a low level of remnants of Sendero Luminoso, especially in what's called the Varayme, the Purumac, Mantaro, and any river valley area in a remote part of Peru. But more than anything, really the memory of that fight, not unlike some of the scars that Vietnam left in our consciousness here in the United States, really has defined a big part of the debate. But beyond just the death of Guzman himself and what that means, what is really happening in Peru also is that you have a debate between what I would call modernity and the, Peru's kind of pre-Incan civilization. And beyond that, a debate between kind of the sophistication of Lima and the oftentimes neglected provinces. So it was interesting that in the midst of this frustration in Peru with the corruption and difficulties of previous governments, that this relatively unknown teacher was able to arrive in power. But what you actually see is that because he is coming from the interior of Peru, from the neglected provinces, his own Prime Minister actually gave his address not in Spanish, but actually in Quechua, one of the most common of the indigenous languages. And one of the voices were, "We are still here." In other words, the pre-modern civilization. And so I think what you really see is that the question of Sendero, who really in Ayacucho and other places, really got some of their biggest appeal by reaching out to those neglected people. The idea that you now have a president who claims to really represent that it really connects the current questions of where Peru is going towards modernity or towards the resurrection of that pre-Incan civilization with the legacy of this leader who died and who really launched this very bloody struggle that impacted so much of Peru's modern history.
I'm following Vargas Llosa's reporting. He reports that Guzman was an enemy of capitalism, an enemy of markets, wanted a classless society, a leveler. We know this. This is monsters from the 20th century pursued the same course. And Vargas Llosa writes about myth, how it was popular, the idea that we can all be the same and share. That is not the same level of vituperation I hear from Castillo, but it's along that roadway. The idea that we can reduce differences between those who prosper and those who are working the land, the levelers of the 18th century. Is that the populism today that was Marxist-Leninism or Maoism in the 20th century? Is that its descendant? Is it masked? Is it presenting itself as a sheep because the wolf is coming?
John, the flavors of leftist populism in each part of Latin America are different in subtle ways. I mean, certainly in the case of Guzman, when you go back to the launch of Sendero Luminoso in Ayacucho in 1980, Guzman was a Marxist, but in particular, he was a Maoist Marxist, somebody who believed, and as you pointed out, the leveling through an agricultural-based revolution, appeal to the peasants against those modernizing factions. And what has happened these days with the arrival of Pedro Castillo is, while the discourse is a little bit different, the discourse really is not only so much about the idea of Peru's connection with the modern system. So, you know, who owns the petroleum, who owns the mining products below the soil, and what is the relationship of those indigenous people who have long really been a key forces beyond the greater Lima area and the role to the rest of the world. So it really raises a number of kind of existential questions about Peru's identity that have often been papered over when the Limeño elites have dominated over these past decades. That is actually somewhat similar to the arrival back in 2006 of Evo Morales and the indigenous right. In Bolivia. It's subtly different from, for example, the frustration with corruption traditional Hispanic elites that brought, for example, Hugo Chavez to power in Venezuela.
Let us pursue this, Professor, when we go to Mexico City next. You've hit all the buttons for the CELAC summit. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Data privacy. Hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy, with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.